The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Alex, what's your day been like today?
It's been amazing. It's been a dream come true. I thought yesterday was really cool, but today's been even better. Just saying hello to everybody. Been enjoying it. My family got into town, so I got to spend some time with them this morning. And then just getting to say hi to everybody on the team and ready to get to work.
How did they tell you, who told you you were getting called up, and how did you communicate that to your folks?
I got a call yesterday morning that said, hey, you're coming to the field early today. And I was like, all right, I'll be there. And then he said, well, bring all your stuff too, because you're getting called up.
Yeah,
to the big leagues. And I'm crazy. I called my family immediately. My mom started screaming. She was crying. My dad was just screaming. He was so excited. And my sister was crying. Everybody was so happy. And we called everybody.
You told them you got to get on the plane. You got to get to Houston.
Yeah. And then my phone was dead with about 5 minutes after that. And got here. And it's been a crazy day. And I'm just looking forward to going out there and playing.
Well, the Astros have their latest savior, and we're back to normal. Well, as normal as we ever get. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and your text will actually get read today. And it's a Monday. Everybody should be in a good mood. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Great to be back. It's rock and roll today, man. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that. What's going on with you, Freddie?
Not a damn thing. I'm just glad
to be back.
It is good to be back, my friend.
Welcome back, Cotter.
Don't play the welcome back, Cotter music.
How was your trip?
It was good. It was too long. The first week was great. And then after about Wednesday, I started kind of getting stir crazy because I'd kind of done everything I wanted to do by then. I'd played a bunch of golf. I'd played a bunch of online poker. I'd done a bunch of, you know, rafting and fishing and stuff like that. And I kind of got it all out of my system. And so by then the in-laws were starting to drive me nuts. And it was like, I need to get out of here. Yeah. I was telling John this. They literally spent a week arguing, my father-in-law and his brother, who was there, arguing where their farm was in relation to where we were sitting on the lake, and spent a week arguing about true north versus magnetic north versus this. And I'm like, I was about to kill myself. But other than that, man, it was great. Got in some golf, won a big poker tournament on Poker Stars to start, because it rained up there a lot more than it usually does. And the first day we were all trapped in the house, so I was just on Poker Stars playing, decided to play a little tournament. And it was just like the old days, just crushed it. 6 hours later, won the thing, paid for the trip and for a few more.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that. But, so that was pretty cool. The only thing that almost got me was this lake they have, and I put some pictures on Facebook, but they've got these massive hills, right? So I'd go for a run every morning, and I will trade the perfect temperatures up there for a flat course down here in 100-degree weather, because those hills were just brutal, man. But I also did some biking. And the first day, I'm out there, and I'm riding the bike up and down the hills, and it's really hard to get up the hills. And I'm sure for somebody who is a real cyclist, it's no big deal. But I'm barely getting up there. And I'm about halfway up a hill, and I kind of feel something nudging up against my butt. And I turn around, there's a damn mule deer chasing me.
and what? A mule deer. Yeah, it was. I don't know whether he was playing or what. And so I'm going as fast as I can. I'm just like trying to get up the hill. This damn deer is chasing me up the hill. And I finally get to the top, and I start going down really fast the other way.
What in the hell?
And then a car came the other way, and the thing took off. But yeah, I got chased by a mule deer. That's
why I don't need to go. I don't need to go to that place.
Yeah, but other than that, it was pretty relaxing, man. It was good to get away. The fun thing is, you know, all the crap that we were dealing with when I left. That's going on here. You know what their big controversy was? Apparently, an 84-year-old man murder-suicided a 79-year-old man, and the whole speculation was whether or not they were lovers or whether it was some kind of pact because they were sick, but that was a big controversy up there. A murder-suicide, which we get, 12 of those a day here?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Usually not with two really old dudes.
So.
Well, glad you enjoyed it, man. It was a strange... Last week, I would say, one of the weirdest weeks in the history of this show, right?
Why would you say that?
Like, with me being in Vegas and...
Oh, yeah, that was a little strange. AJ got a call. I guess Mike and AJ got a call from HBO. They're trying to promote the fight, the Terrence Crawford-Victor Postol fight, and wanted to be in the Houston market. They called him, what was it, like Wednesday?
Yeah, I think before? It was Wednesday when I was texting you about it. And you're like, yeah, I've got to go to... Vegas next week.
Yeah, 1 week notice.
Yeah. It worked out, though. I think we got in the second day. We got in an interview every hour. The first day was a little slow. Bob Arum with the nice little dig at Dana White in the second day. They got rejoins in all the shows saying that you were in Vegas to promote the fight, and we had interviews every hour.
Also weird. Ask me how many other stations were on Radio Row there.
Well, you already told me, but how many other stations were on Radio Row?
One. Ask me how many other English-speaking stations.
Oh, really? Was this the loud chanting?
No. There's a couple quiet Hispanic dudes. I think they were from Chicago, maybe. That was it. That was the extent of the Radio Row. And so, like, when Terrence Crawford came in, they were like, well, do you want to go here? And he's like, well, yeah, otherwise I walk down here for nothing. So it was, they made it easy on us.
So did you go to the fight?
No, I left before the fight just because it was such short notice and, I'm dealing with training and things like that. And it already kind of threw off my schedule a little, but I was able to get back in on Saturday night. And but I was up there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then left Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I don't even have a bad travel story because I have to say, from now on, I'm just flying first class everywhere. It's actually fun flying up there when you do that.
Yeah.
The only problem we had, and it wasn't the airline's fault, is apparently, and I was talking to John about this, because you haven't been out of the country in a while.
No.
But when you come back in, even though you've checked your bags and you've been through security, well, when you get back in the country, you have to check, you get your bags that have already been checked and you have to carry them to another place and put them on basically they have to go through another area, but they don't check the bags again. It's just a waste of time. And because of that, it was real tight on our connection.
Right.
So my bags didn't make it. And it was, like I said, it wasn't the airline's fault. So I didn't get them back until last night. And I had several really good beers that I was bringing back, including one for you. I did get you most of them back that I brought back. But it was the only thing that was bad about the whole trip was I had these Imperial Stouts from this Blackbridge Brewery, which is they're only making a few of them. And I, of course, had a bunch while I was there. And two of them were missing and the rest were broken. So I kind of suspect somebody got in and took two of them and then left everything open. That's why they got broken. And I also had this bottle of vodka that they only make like 20 a month of that was just fantastic. And that got broken. So that was the only part about the trip that sucked. Everything else was great. But I did get back with a bunch of these beers for you guys. So... For those of you I promise beer, I have them.
Okay.
And that pseudo lager is brand new. They just started canning that about a month ago. I got it last year on tap, but hopefully you'll enjoy it.
I'm sure I will. I also had some slight travel issues because Southwest had some sort of problem with their computers. And it basically... It basically shut down everything for a while my way out there. When I got, it didn't affect our flight too much. We were slightly delayed, not too much. But when we got there, it took forever for our bags to come out because the entire baggage claim in Vegas, there were just bags everywhere.
Like, oh, boy.
Just mountains of bags because people weren't there to claim them. I mean, like, bags were going ahead of people. People were going ahead of bags. You literally had to carry your bag through the airport because you couldn't roll it. There wasn't room.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it was total.
That is not a good airport show for something like that to happen either, because it's so busy and it's not that big. But oh well.
But I survived.
No recliners on you or anything?
No recliners. I'm sat next to normal sized people the whole way.
Wow.
Yeah, not too shabby. Not too shabby.
Yeah, the best part was on the second flight, the one from Minneapolis to Regina going over there, we were the only two people in first class, so we had our own private flight attendant, basically, for 2 hours. That didn't suck. Basically, just told him, keep the drinks coming until we pass out or we land, whichever comes first.
Yeah.
So I did get my money's worth on the alcohol in first class. I'll make that clear. So we should talk about Alex Bregman, since that's what the show started with, your latest savior for your Astros.
Well, he's a rookie, so temper expectations. I know everybody thinks that, you know, I don't know what he's the next. I haven't heard. I know we had, when Correa came up and I said that I've heard people that I respect say that he projects as a Nomar Garcia Parra type player. And there were people who were upset that they thought he would be way better than Nomar Garcia Parra, which I was like, good Lord.
What the hell, man?
Yeah. And then I'll never forget the George Springer, Joe DiMaggio comparisons that came out.
Well, remember when they drafted Kyle Tucker? He's got a swing like Ted Williams.
Yep. I think the safest thing to do with Alex Bregman is Cal Ripken Jr. I feel like that's a that's a reasonable expectation, right?
I was going to go with Roy today, Rod.
Okay, that works too. Either way, can play a little short, can play a little third, will definitely hit 600, 700, maybe 800 home runs.
A certain Hall of Famer.
Unless he gets caught.
Right.
But I think what you mean is he's like roided A-Rod, but clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Like basically a vegan.
Yeah.
You know, he's a clean living, you know, good. He's like a mix of Cal Ripken Jr. and roided up A-Rod is what he is.
And he probably plays defense like Ozzie Smith.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Now the reality is, hey, it's nice that they have another prospect up. I know a lot of people are excited about him, especially because there's such an LSU contingent here, and they all loved him at LSU. But realistically, you never know what these guys are going to be, especially early on. I remember when A.J. Reed was supposed to be the savior at first base, and how'd that work out?
Well, it doesn't mean he won't be. He was supposed to be the savior at first base after Jonathan Singleton was supposed to be the savior at first base, after Brett Wallace was supposed to be the savior at first base.
Yeah, and yeah, the reality is, you know, it's good to see him up. He's done everything you can ask him to do at AAA. That doesn't mean it's going to translate to the bigs. And if it does, great. I'm kind of curious where they're going to play him. Because
from what I understand, third base today, he'll see time in left field and designated hitter over the course.
And
of
I'm
the
guessing
week.
He'll spell Correa every now and then at short. He'll probably spell Altuve at second every now and then, although he never takes a day off.
Right.
But
nor should he.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to keep winning.
That guy has just been so amazing. And, you know, I think that obviously if the guy comes up and tears it up, great. But I hope everybody has realistic expectations and is, you know, really not thinking, uh-oh, this is A-Rod. It's obviously whether or not he turns into a good major leaguer or not is still way up in the air. But
yeah, I think he can be a good player, though. I mean, everything's in place for the guy to be a good player.
I think he's a high floor player.
Yeah.
I don't think his floor, I think, is pretty damn high.
There were a lot of people who were upset with me over the last month or two when I've been saying, if Chris Sale comes available and they want Alex Bregman, it's not even a question. I still stand by that. If he hits, you know, 300 over his first 2 weeks and the White Sox offer up a deal with Chris Sale two weeks from now, you still take that deal.
I do.
But
if chopped up uniforms and everything.
Yep, I'll take it. Because for two reasons. One, I mean, Chris Sale is an established player. He has proven himself over many years in the major leagues that he is a very, very valuable asset, and he's at a very team-friendly price. And two, if you make that deal, it means that the Rangers aren't going to make that deal. Or, you know, a team that you're competing with for a wild card spot isn't going to make that. The Red Sox aren't going to make that deal and end up with Chris Sale. And you're already, your starting pitching relative to the other contenders in the league is not great. And if they add another guy like that who's a legitimate ace, you know, that makes things a little tougher on the Astros. But as long as that doesn't happen, then, you know, Alex Bregman, he should be a welcome addition to this team. That, I mean, listen, Carlos Correa got over 270 yesterday, which makes him the second player on the team hitting more than 270, which is unbelievable, the success they're having with the bats, despite the fact that really no one can hit on this team besides Altuve. So any bats are welcome. I think that, you know, right now, I think they're rolling. It's hard to say anything the Astros are doing is going to be the wrong thing, because they've got it clicking right now.
And if he does come up and he does, you know, start hitting right away, that's a good problem to have.
No doubt.
We'll talk about that when we come back. There's a lot of other stuff to get to as well.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Deep South Barrels, deepsouthbarrels.com. They're located in Pearland, so it's a local company. These guys, if you haven't checked them out, listen, aging liquors in oak barrels is something that's been going on for 4,700 plus years. What Deep South Barrels does is they make personal-sized aging barrels, which speed up the process of creating a smooth spirit, removing the impurities from house liquor. That oak wood soaks up all the impurities. And with these personal-sized ones, it takes 28 days, less than a month, to turn your crappy booze into something amazing. They are the nation's premier supplier of miniature American oak customizable barrels. And like I said, they're right here in Pearland, Texas. So they're a local company. You're dealing with local people, good people at that. You can take liquors in a plastic bottle, age it into your favorite scotches and whiskeys. It's like magic, but for booze. If you've got to give a gift, there's a birthday coming up. Maybe you're getting married. You need a gift for your groomsmen. Get these barrels customized for your people. It's something they'll always cherish and they'll always remember. Deep South Barrels is bold enough to improve on a 4,700-year-old tradition. And right now, if you use my promo code Hoffman, you'll save 10% off your entire order. That's promo code Hoffman at deepsouthbarrels.com. That's Deep South Barrels, deepsouthbarrels.com.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number. Texas Tigers says Reed wasn't even batting 300 in AAA. Don't know where the hype came from. The hype came from...
Well, Reed was the number one prospect in the organization before the season started.
He was number 11 in Baseball America overall. He also had 57 home runs in 264 games and 217 RBIs. That's pretty damn good production.
And Bregman has, what, like 15 games in AAA?
Yeah.
If I don't care if you're hitting 400. You've played 15 games in AAA. Who knows what you are?
Hey, and believe me, I hope he's great, but...
It's just tempering expectations.
Yeah, it's just realistically, and for the same reason.
Because I promise you, George Springer is still never going to be Joe DiMaggio.
No, but don't tell Astros fan that. But realistically.
I have to, Fred.
But A.J. Reed, who did not do well in his call-up, that doesn't mean he's not going to be a very good hitter in Major League Baseball. A lot of guys, and go look at the history of almost everybody, with very few exceptions, comes up and struggles at first, and it's such a huge adjustment. So I think if you're expecting him to come up here and hit 310 and start driving in runs and be this absolute monster, well, not many guys do that. Hopefully that's the case. If it is, it'll be great. But you never know, no matter how good you think a guy is, you really never know until they get to the bigs.
Right.
And even then, remember, let's go back to April. Remember how bad the Astros were back then? And we talked about how you can't really judge yet.
They're the biggest disappointment of the first couple months of the season.
Now look at where they are. Now just imagine every single player looking at them the same way. I mean, you don't know from a month. I mean, if you took that 1 3-week stretch where George Springer was hitting everything, you'd think he was Joe DiMaggio.
Right.
But you have to take it all in context. So yeah, I'm not saying he's not going to be great, and I'm not saying that I don't think he's going to be a terrific player down the road, maybe even now, but if you're automatically expecting him to be, I think you're going to be disappointed. And then the same people are going to come up to, oh, what a, he's a bust. No, he's not. If he doesn't have huge success right off the bat.
You usually don't know about prospects until about 3 years into their career, if they're real players or not.
Absolutely.
I mean, Springer's a good example of that. We've seen really amazing spurts out of him. We've seen really, really bad stuff out of him. Right now, he's kind of leveling it out as a good major league player. It takes time for everybody. And Correa, of course, everybody thought Correa was going to give a full season of what he did last year. He's not even close to that.
And if
it doesn't mean that he's not a player.
No, in all honesty, I think this is the low end of what you can expect from Correa throughout his career. And, you know, we'll see. If this is what he is, it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
But I expect him to be a lot better than this.
No, I do too. It just takes time.
It does. And it's so different from other sports. It really is, because football, even it takes a couple of years for guys. Basketball, sometimes it takes guys a couple of years. Some guys are ready right away. But baseball, man, that's especially when you get these guys drafted out of high school. Now, Bregman should be farther along because he played in college, but even that, aluminum bat versus wood bat, you never know how that translates. And, yeah, I so far he's done everything you could ask him to do in the minors. We'll see how it translates. But so did Jonathan Singleton for the longest time.
Yeah.
And that hasn't worked out yet either. Let's try David. What's up, David? Hello, David.
Hey, now.
Hey, how's it going?
Going sports. What's up?
Hey, sports guys. Hey, I was wondering, what do you think with the call-up of Bregman? What do you think that does to our chances this year? I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
I don't really think it affects him that much, unless the guy comes up and is somehow like a world beater all of a sudden. I still think this Astros team, while it's hard to ignore the record, I mean, they're a good team. You know, they're 10 games over 500 now. The bullpen to me is a legitimate strength. I don't know. Like, if you look at them on paper, it's hard to tell how they're good. You know, the starting pitching is middle of the road at best. As far as like team average goes, they're horrible. They've got one guy who's been consistently over 270 all season long, and that's Altuve.
And he's hitting better than anybody in the league.
Yeah,
right now.
You could argue he's on the short list for league MVP. But normally, you know, when you got a guy like that surrounded by guys who hit 194 and 220 and 209, you're not very good. The Astros inexplicably are. I still think the most important thing for them to do is add an arm. It doesn't have to be a Chris Sale, but it needs to be a top half of the rotation arm. You know, a guy who they can slot in and give them playoff innings. I've heard that they're maybe in on Andrew Cashner, which, you know, that's an interesting name. I still think they need more starting pitching to compete over the course of this season. But, I don't know that Alex Bregman is going to instantly make an impact on whether or not they're, you know, suddenly going to be a World Series team.
Somebody asked, are they auditioning Bregman for a possible run at Sale? That wouldn't surprise me. Bring him up and showcase him a little bit. And I know nobody wants to hear this, but if you could do that, I'd do that in a heartbeat, because that's a number one starter who's under contract for 3 more years. And I know he's a head case, but I don't care. There's a lot of starting pitchers that have been head cases. And you put him at the top of that rotation, and Keuchel seems to be coming around slowly. And he's, well, pitching tonight, but if you get him going and McCullers keeps coming around, suddenly you've got a rotation that you can match up with anybody in the playoffs. Yeah. And that's, you know, they've got enough power. And the thing that amazes me, plus 59 run differential for this team.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, considering.
Their run differential is almost the same as their games over 500, their win differential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. We'll find each other's arms for you.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. You can also text that number. You can also get us on Twitter. Also get us on Facebook. All kinds of ways to get involved. I just have one general question for the Astros fans out there.
Okay.
Because I don't know that the Astros are going to be able to get Chris Sale. I'm not sure if I'm the White Sox, I even trade him, no matter how much of a dickweed he's being.
Yeah.
But.
Well, they've said that they're not looking to trade him, but if the right offer were to come around, everybody's for sale. That's.
Yeah. The question I would ask, would you trade one World Series win? Because honestly, you put Chris Sale at the top of this rotation right now, I think this is one of the teams that can certainly win the World Series.
I think so, too.
Would you trade one World Series win for a career of Craig Biggio? Well, let's say Alex Bregman has Craig Biggio's Hall of Fame career. Would you trade that for one World Series?
I would.
Certainly. I would, too, in a heartbeat. Because
And you've got three chances at a World Series if you get Chris Sale. Three.
Well, three more years.
Yeah, you've got 3 years of good team control, which is about the same they've got with Altuve and Correa and Keuchel and this core, basically.
Yeah. So there's, and I would say if you had him in the next 3 years, I'd be surprised if you didn't win a World Series, because I think Correa,
or at least get to one, and if you get to one, you've got a shot.
Yeah, you know? And who knows about this Cuban guy they signed to play third base, which apparently they are in love with signing anybody who plays third base or shortstop.
That's what they need more of.
But, maybe that guy turns into a player too, and you've got yet another option there. I would just, if you had an opportunity to win now, and I'll go back to the Randy Johnson trade, which they gave up a lot to get Randy Johnson, but that team had a chance to win the World Series.
Yeah.
Ran into a buzzsaw with the Padres, didn't play their best baseball, and Kevin Brown turned out to be the same kind of thing for them. Yeah. That happens. But I would do that trade any day of the week if I had an opportunity to get that kind of player. And I think you don't have to look any further than the Cubs and what they gave up today to get Aroldis Chapman, which is a huge haul for a reliever.
Yeah, for a reliever with no team control.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if they got some kind of deal arranged with him where he's going to resign.
I don't know.
But the reality is,
my guess is no, because he'd much rather just be a free agent and see what he can get. But
yeah,
but they're playing for the now.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. That they're having a historic season.
They also see where their biggest weakness is.
Yeah,
and so they just addressed it.
You know what? And they basically just traded their equivalent of Alex Bregman. So, for a reliever.
Yeah.
Everyone wants a Pokemon Go update from Jong. I miss this whole Pokemon Go thing. Actually, you know the best thing about the whole Pokemon Go thing?
Yeah, what's that?
The Canadian pension plan owns 20% of Nintendo.
Oh, boy.
And I don't want to say anything, but some of us are married to people who have a lot of money in that thing.
Yeah.
And it has just shot through the roof.
Good
so
for you.
Everybody keep doing Pokemon Go. Keep buying Nintendo stuff. Build that stock up.
There's not really much of an update. When AJ was gone in on Friday, Mike and Barry asked, and I gave him a quick update, but I haven't really played that much. There's other people that go that have been playing a lot more, a lot more frequently than I have. But did you guys see the story about the Iowa player that got arrested?
I did. I had that on the list to discuss at some point today.
So I mean, I don't really play that much. The one time I did go out and actually actively look for one was a couple Saturdays ago. Me and Teresa had really not much to do, so we went to Discovery Green to kind of just walk around, and found a couple there. That was the most I've ever played in one sitting. Well, it was probably like 30 minutes, but I don't really play that much.
You can't catch Jesse, can you?
No.
Damn.
No. You can catch everything else.
My wife and kids were playing while we went to Austin for the weekend.
Yeah, Annie and your kids were shaming me because my Pokemon skills were not that high.
Yeah, they expected more out of you, I think.
Yeah, because I was Asian.
Yeah.
Or I am Asian.
You were Asian? Did you change?
I guess it got revoked because I'm not playing Pokemon Go as much as...
Maybe it should be.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be. But yeah, it was a... they've got... I guess when you go to a new town and as your level goes up, you are able to find more Pokemon, so they're all excited about the Pokemon they found this weekend. I told them eventually, I was just like, listen, can we have a deal where you guys just don't talk about Pokemon in front of me? It's driving me crazy.
Well, my son was into it for years, and I haven't checked to see if he still is. I'm guessing no, because he's – although, I don't know.
That kid's grown.
Theoretically. But before him, it was my niece, and she would just go on and on about – I know more about Pokemon than I ever wanted to know, because you don't want to be the jerk parent slash uncle who says, oh, would you please shut up about the Pokemon? It kind of did the same thing. It's like, you know what? You can keep it to yourself, but they couldn't help it. So right. I know way too much about it. But, yeah, Jong is an Asian. You're supposed to catch all of them. That's all I know.
Yeah, I just don't have time. By the time I get, you know, home, I'm kind of tired and really don't want to walk around.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. It's a little shameful.
Tired. Who gets tired?
Old people.
That's it.
And Lance said there was a bleep ton of people playing at Jester King this weekend.
And like I said, including my wife and kids. There's a Pokestop at Jester King. So they load up on the Pokeballs and run around and catch them all.
713 says, right after Pokemon came out, there were literally 500 people walking around Discovery Green one night.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? Better that than... You know, there's a lot worse things than for people to be into that. It's no different than sitting at home playing Xbox. I mean, if you're getting out and doing something.
Oh, I didn't talk about this, but when we were driving home from Discovery Green, I was at a light downtown, and I see a Metro Police car pull up, and then they take a left, and one of the officers in the car, in the passenger seat, was playing Pokemon. He was going a little crazy. I could see his phone screen. He was playing Pokemon Go. I was like, huh. You're playing on... Maybe you should not be doing that.
That might be a bit much.
That's not as bad as people driving and playing Pokemon Go.
Well, but those same people who are driving and playing Pokemon Go are the same ones who are driving and texting anyway.
Yeah.
So at least, you know, whichever, they're going to kill you either way. At least this way they're playing a game.
Yeah.
But, this kid from, I can't find the story now, but.
His name is like Faith Ikakiti? I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Ikakiti?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm going to go with Ikakiti. That's my guess. I have no clue. But, that's all people have been talking about for 2 weeks. But apparently he was mistaken for a robbery suspect and was held at gunpoint while playing Pokemon Go.
Hard times.
Basically, what happened was police officers approached him. He had just pulled up to the park because he was playing Pokemon Go. The suspect didn't realize that there were four cops behind him because he had headphones on and was blaring music. He reached into his pockets, for his phone, and suddenly they've got guns on him because they don't know if it's his phone or what, and because he matches the suspect. But, yeah, fortunately, nothing came of it. But, almost got shot for playing Pokemon Go. That would have
not
been too
wise,
much.
Guys.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Let's grab Mike real quick. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Sports.
Sports, man. Yeah, speaking of this Pokemon Go, yeah, man, I'm an officer. Not going to say where, obviously, but people are literally going crazy over this Pokemon Go. They're, like, parking on the side of the Beltway, getting out along traffic to try to find Pokemon. I mean, they're out like 3-4 in the morning at like random parks and random places playing Pokemon Go, man. It's getting crazy. And unfortunately, people are getting robbed. So don't play Pokemon and get robbed.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful with that stuff. I don't know. Like, the kids want to go out when it's nighttime.
Yeah.
And I tell them, well, go ahead and ride around in the car if you want. Like, go to Vintage Park, which is over by where we live.
Right.
It's like a little shopping area that a bunch of people play there. And you can cruise through the parking lot, and my wife can cruise while they catch them. But you don't need to be out and walking around there. I mean, and it also depends on just where you are. Like, I live in a fairly safe part of town.
Yeah.
You know? Downtown, I wouldn't want to be walking around in the middle of the night Pokemoning.
Depends on what part of downtown. Actually, if you're over by Discovery Green and some of those places, you're fine. You don't want to be messing around the Main Street station.
Right.
Yeah, about that time.
But yeah, also don't walk off a cliff when you're playing Pokemon.
That's not wise.
That would be a hell of a way to die.
Oh, though there's a couple of people that died. I think it was in California or something a couple weeks ago. I think a few days after the game came out, they walked off a cliff.
Ugh. I have to say, this is a brilliant marketing idea, though.
Oh, I don't think they died, though. I'll look it up.
Let's grab...
If you walk off a cliff playing Pokemon Go and you don't die, do you continue to play Pokemon Go?
Probably, if you're that committed to it, that you're willing to go off a cliff.
Yeah.
And break every bone in your body, most likely. Let's grab DJ Hollygrove real quick. What's up, DJ?
What's up, fellas? How you doing? Welcome back, AJ.
Thank you, sir.
Glad to have you back on the program. I was in New Orleans DJing last weekend. I had DJ at the House of Blues out there, and I went on Bourbon afterwards. Because, you know, you gotta go on Bourbon at least once, you know. And literally, it was about 200 or 300 people walking up and down Bourbon, playing it, bumping the people. They were drunk. It was kind of cool, you know, to be honest, because, you know, they're all up on Bourbon playing. And I was like, you know, I started thinking about, like, somebody's going to get hurt because you're out there drinking. You know how New Orleans is. You can walk around, drink everywhere, you know. So liquor with Pokemon Go might not be the, you know, the greatest idea. But, hey, kudos to Nintendo and Pokemon Corporation because they're making a crap load of money. Man, I didn't think about it.
Yep.
Yeah, wish I'd had that idea.
It always seems pretty simple. Like when you go back and look and be like, oh, I should have thought of that.
Yeah, but then you'd have to have already come up with Pokemon and everything else. And yeah. Licensing. But oh well.
Yeah, the two men that fell from a cliff fell 50 to 90 feet in Encinitas, California on June 16th, which wasn't too long ago, and they are alive.
50 to 90 feet and yes. They lived?
Yes.
Did they fall onto a pillow pile?
I have no idea.
Boy.
They fell on top of Pikachu. That's what happened.
And also, there's a pretty big difference between 50 and 90 feet.
Yeah.
The CNN report says 50 to 90 feet.
Do a better job of estimating, CNN.
I think the San Diego Police Department estimated 50 to 90 feet.
50 seems, I mean...
It's survivable.
Survivable. You'd be hurt really bad.
Yeah.
But it's survivable. 90... I mean,
imagine falling 30 yards on a football field. You're probably going to get.
You wouldn't want to survive that.
No. You're probably drinking out of a straw for the rest of your life.
Okay. Maybe they were like tumbling down the side of the cliff or something.
So they bounced?
Yeah. You could survive that way.
Probably. But that's kind of misleading to say they fell 80 feet if it wasn't just a straight fall.
Yeah.
90 feet. All right, guys. Got to tell you about my good friends at Houston Can Academy. If there's a kid that wants to drop out of school and doesn't know what to do, that's who helps them out, the Houston Can Academies. They change lives every day, and that makes us a stronger community. They take kids who have dropped out of other schools for a lot of reasons. These are good kids that some of them had to get jobs to support their families, all kinds of reasons that they had to drop out of school. Well, Houston Can Academy works around them, and they give them the things they need to be successful. If it's glasses, they get those. If it's transportation, they do that. And they even feed them if they're hungry. That's what they do at Houston Can Academies, and so many great success stories come out of there. Well, that's why they need your donations. And by your donations, we're talking about vehicles you're not using anymore. It doesn't matter what it is. Be a truck. It could be a forklift. It could be anything. It doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. They're going to come tow it free of charge. They're going to fill out all the paperwork for you so you don't have to do anything. And your donation's tax deductible. A lot of Blitzers have done this. You guys have stepped up big time. And the cool thing, everybody says the same thing. It's quick, it's easy, and it doesn't matter where you are. If you're over in Lake Charles, if you're in Beaumont, if you're in, no matter where you are, if you can hear my voice, they're going to come and tow that vehicle. Unless, you know, you're overseas somewhere, and going to have a hard time coming and tow it there. But if you're over in Vidor, you know, Port Arthur, any of those places, they'll come and do it. And if you donate today, how about this? You're going to get Astros tickets. Just their way of saying thank you. And the Astros are hot right now, so here's a great chance for you to go to a game, do a great thing, and help change lives. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. The HD show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring. Located on the Weta, Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 Crown, Jaegers, Tuaca's, and Sailor Jerry's. Come by and turn Monday into Funday with the HD show. Is there any day now that we don't have something where you can drink?
I feel like it's pretty much what our station is.
Pretty much every day, right? We'll have something for you somewhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. Having some fun today on a Monday. Finally got the band back together. And about to get busy for us here, man. We got not too long before teams report for training camp for the NFL. That's happening.
Texans placed five guys on the physically unable to perform list.
Including
J.J. Watt.
Indeed.
And Dwayne Brown.
Yeah, I think Dwayne, from what I understand, is pretty far along, but there's no reason to push it. And who knows about J.J. Watt? I mean, you have back surgery. I've seen a lot of different speculation on how long he might be out, but I'm guessing he'll be ready for the start of the season, but you never know. Man. I mean, it's a back injury.
Jeff Adams, Cleveland Brown III, and Lonnie Ballenton, the other guys.
And Jeff Adams, of course, coming off a pretty serious injury last year, too, and that's a guy they're kind of counting on as a potential swing guy. But, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to getting out there and seeing what they look like. I tend to pick up a lot more from practice than I do preseason games, mainly because I know they're actually running plays that they're going to use in games a lot of times, and they're working on situations. But, if Watt's out for any length of time, that's a huge blow to them. But I don't think that's going to be the case from all indications. It's, if he misses the first game, and I find it hard to believe the guy will miss a game. With the crap he played with last year and the stuff he plays through, I have a sneaking suspicion he'll be out there.
Well, I would think that as well. But when it comes to a back injury, if you're the Texans, you're making him clear extra hurdles before you put him on the field.
Yeah, especially on that field.
Yeah, it's not worth
risking. Although, at least they did change the surface. Let's try Rafi. What's up, Rafi?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
Well, welcome back, AJ. Good to have you back on the show, man.
Thank you.
Quick question. I know it's not Wednesday, but what are the odds that we in the very near future see a fan run on the field at Reliant or at Minute Maid trying to catch a Pokemon during the game?
Oh, do they have them on the field?
I have no idea.
They better not.
I doubt it.
Because you put the right Pokemon out there, somebody will do it.
Hell yeah.
People are stupid.
They are.
We know that.
I think you just make sure you don't put one on the damn field.
That's right.
That would be kind of funny, though.
But I don't know how that works. I don't know how they decide where they are.
Yeah.
If it's just randomly, I don't know.
So, you were out there for the fight last week. Was this kind of his showcase for Pacquiao? Is that kind of the speculation? Because
that's what everybody's saying, is basically if Crawford won, they were going to set up a fight between Crawford and Pacquiao.
November 2nd, I think.
Which would be the opportunity to turn Crawford into a legit pay-per-view star. I haven't seen the numbers from this pay-per-view. I think most people had very, very tempered expectations.
I saw there were only like 7,000 in the building.
Yeah, they had tarped off the whole upper deck of the MGM. So it wasn't a big crowd. So I would think that they're looking for a fight to turn Crawford into a pay-per-view star. And I think at this point Crawford beats Pacquiao, and if he does that, then maybe that does make him a bit of a draw, but it's hard to tell. Yeah, I mean, it's funny how there are guys that people will grab onto and support in that sport, and there's people that they just don't get interested in.
Michael says there were Pokemon on the field at the Dynamo game. Well, if they're on the Dynamo's field, we know they can't score.
No.
There's that. But, yeah, anyway. Let's try Marcus. He wants to talk about the Crawford fight. What's up, Marcus?
What's up, guys?
Sports.
Hey, good job, man. Hey, y'all touched on it, but I really want to talk about what you guys think about Crawford himself as far as his fighting ability and where you guys rank him as a pound to pound. Pound for pound. I mean, I got him and Lomachenko right there, 1 and 2, as far as what I'm concerned. But I wanted to see what you guys thought about that. All right.
He's very good. There's no doubt. And the guy that he just just beat, and Postal was also considered very good, and he made him look like he didn't even really belong. Pound for pound is always tough for me, but you know what I think about Gennady Golovkin. He's near the top of my
list. Andre Ward's near the top of my list, too.
Chocolatito's near the top of my list. Yeah, Ward, Kovalev. I think Rigondeaux's near there, too. Crawford. All those guys, you could throw them in a bag. Lomachenko's very good, although I think he needs some more fights. But I think he's a top 5-6 pound-for-pound guy.
Yeah, and I think, but the question is, and I don't know how, when you look at some of these guys that become big pay-per-view draws, it's a lot like some of the UFC guys who become big for different reasons, like Brock Lesnar, because he's got the WWE thing and apparently right. can't pass a drug test. But Conor McGregor became a big star before he was a good fighter, I think. He was winning fights,
yeah,
but he had something else beyond that. Like Canelo has this huge following because of Mexico, and Manny's always had this big following.
Oh, box in combat sports, where you're from is half the battle.
Yeah, and I wonder if, you know, what it's going to take. Because even we've had this discussion about Golovkin. Guys like you and I love watching him fight, but
how many Kazakhstani people are buying pay-per-views?
Right. And I think for Crawford, for him to beat Pacquiao, maybe that takes him to that next level. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just, you know, if you're a fan of the sport, it's one thing. And if you enjoy boxing, you love watching guys like that fight. But that's also a pretty small group.
Yeah.
What you need is someone who's going to transcend that. Like Floyd Mayweather, not just because he always beat everybody, because frankly, it wasn't that interesting to watch fight, but he's a star. And, you know, he's an Instagram star and a Twitter star and everything else. He's a celebrity, and people would pay for those fights. And he could come out of retirement right now and fight some guy off the street.
Do big numbers.
Yeah, even though he probably wouldn't knock him out. Right. He would just sit there and play defense and win. And I think, you know, when you look at some of these guys, it just – that's not there, that superstardom. And it's kind of a shame that you have to be a Kardashian to be popular. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, guys. Football season right around the corner. And – if you have a home theater that you want to get set up before that starts, before football gets underway, now is the time. Town and Country Leather's home theater seating sale is going on right now. Get the home theater seats you want and need, for that matter. You buy three power reclining seats together right now for $29.99. You'll get one absolutely free. So a four-seat row, your choice of 10 colors for $29.99, the finest of leather. Town and Country Leather's home theater sale. They've got three locations around town. They're at Post Oak at San Felipe. There's one I-45 in Spring, and there's one on Grand Parkway at West Belfort. And you go in this place, you're going to be blown away at what they can do. If theater seating is not what you're looking for, you're looking for a couch, you're looking for a recliner, they've got you hooked up there as well. Nothing but the finest stuff in Town and Country Leather. Once again, those three locations, plus you could shop everything online at townandcountryleather.com. Go check them out soon, townandcountryleather.com.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.